So let's go ahead and call the June 5th meeting of the Mill Creek City Council to order, and we will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mayor Pruitt.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Holtzclaw.
Here.
Councilmember Bond.
Here.
Councilmember Todd.
Here.
Councilmember Cavallari.
Here.
Councilmember Mead.
Here.
Councilmember Steckler.
Here.
First up is audience communication. We have one person signed up. John Cook. Name and address.
All right. My name is John Cook. I live in Red Cedar. My address is 3106 149th Street Southeast. And I don't know if I'm in the right venue here, but I'm kind of frustrated because of the conditions of a couple of our parks. And I've gone the route of calling people, and it's gotten no attention. So I feel like I need to step it up a little bit, and that's why I'm here. Heron Park is, it looks like it's a playset that's in a third world country. I mean, it is, looks terrible. I got pictures of it to show you. There's empty swings. There's a plywood up in front of where a lookout glass should be. And it's been that way for several months. I called. I talked to Nathan Beagle on the phone. He gave me, oh, well, we're looking at trying to replace it, and we're looking at trying to get funds for it. And I said, well, how about maintaining it while we're waiting to replace it? He took the swings down. The kids love swings, right? They took the swings down, saying that the bolts needed to get replaced. They could replace the bolts, but then they didn't want to replace it because of the safety consideration of the wall behind it, stating some guidelines for safety. I'm looking at it, and I'm using common sense, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This is why you're not replacing it, is because of this wall. So I asked him for the guidelines. And I went on the, it is a certified, this is what he referenced, certified playground safety inspector. So I went on there, and I looked at the guidelines for swings. And the guidelines for a swing, which it has a huge safety margin, right? These are guys that are certified in safety. It says the height of the swing, double that distance, and then that should be your clearance for the swings. I went out there with the tape measure today, because it looked ridiculous. It's 104 inches to the top, 230 inches to the wall. So it is beyond that safety margin. And I'm wondering why there's this, where there should be three swings on this beautiful wooden structure that I don't think needs to be replaced. It just needs to be maintained. It is beautiful. The kids love it. But there's three empty spots. It looks like it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to see that. The kids can't play on it. And you've got this plywood, and it's been that way for months. I've called Nathan Beagle three times. I believe one time I left a message with you, and then you didn't return my call. Nathan Beagle returned my call because I think you instructed him to. However, it's unacceptable to me. He's saying, well, it's $700 to replace that. I don't care. You know how much money all these citizens are paying to have well-maintained, nice, beautiful parks that the kids can play on? It's a lot of money. So, yeah, if you need to put a new piece of glass in there for $700, do it. I don't want to look at plywood. And if you're going to replace a structure, then replace it. But maintain what we've got and have pride in what we've got. I have pictures. I'm happy to show them to you. But it is embarrassing. It's garbage. And it's been that way for months. I understand there's sometimes, you know, there's a little lag in time to get things done. But that's unacceptable to me. If that were to happen anywhere else, it just wouldn't happen. It wouldn't fly. And why it's happening here in this city is beyond me, because I think we're supposed to pride ourselves in that next level of niceness. And I'm not seeing it. And it's frustrating because I'm just a citizen. It's not even my job to do this. I've made several phone calls to the right people who I think should be maintaining this, and they're not doing it. And it's frustrating to me that I'm having to take my time out to make sure that this gets done. I got photos. It's embarrassing. And it's unacceptable to me, and that's why I'm here. And then the second thing that my wife made me promise to talk about was the park at Cougar Park. The play structure at Cougar Park is an anti-play structure. I don't know if you guys ever go there, but you go across the street. When the school gets out, they have this thing with a bunch of ropes that kids can't play on. It's ridiculous. So I beg of you guys, if the play structure in Heron Park does get replaced, whoever designed the Highland Park, have them design the one that goes in Heron Park, because whoever came up with the Cougar Park, I don't know how they designed that structure and called it a play structure, but you go and look at it, kids cannot play on it, and it's a waste of space and money. It needs to be fixed. But, from now on, if something like that could not be done, that would be fantastic. I guess, do you guys have any questions for me? Do you want to see,
I don't respond generally, John, but the director of public works and who handles this stuff is here tonight.
Do you have any questions for me? Okay. Okay.
All right. Park board, well, you'll talk. Anybody else going once, twice? Okay, with that, we'll move on. First up is a presentation for the Association of Washington Center for Quality Community Scholarship, and our own Mike Todd is going to handle that.
Thank you, Mayor. So this started a handful of years ago. I can't remember what year it was, but it started off as an outreach effort at the Association for Washington City's annual conference. Some people said, we really ought to get some of these young individuals, kids in our community, young adults in our communities, who show leadership qualities to stand up and get recognized for the kinds of things they do for their cities. And so out of that hatched a program that's grown over the years. And it's really a nice thing that it's donations by individuals at that conference and other people in the city community who are putting their own money together to do this. Every city has an opportunity to put a candidate in, and they select five or six of those. I think it's six this year. McKenzie didn't get selected for the statewide award, but we wanted to honor her for her nomination here in the city. And so I've got a few statements to make about here, make about the process here. In February, the council selected Archbishop Murphy student McKenzie Ryan as the local nominee for the Association of Washington City's Center for Quality Community Scholarship. McKenzie's been on the honor roll for 4 years of her academic career and participated in multiple sports, including captain of the cross-country team for 2 years. She is a member of DECA, the Senior Student Council, and the National Honor Society, and was elected as a National Honor Society officer this year. Her activities outside of school include working at the Mill Creek YMCA and the Everett Aqua Sox Baseball Club, and she also volunteers with Special Olympics in Washington. And those are the kinds of things we looked at the applications. We said McKenzie really stands out. This is limited to people who live in Mill Creek, but McKenzie lives in Mill Creek and, as I said, attends Archbishop Murphy. So even though she was not selected as one of the winners for the state scholarship, the city council would like to present McKenzie with a $500 scholarship to the higher education institution of her choice because she is our local nominee. She plans to attend the University of Portland on a merit scholarship where she will study biology and pursue a career as a physician's assistant. So we'd like to have McKenzie come forward, accept the larger-than-life check, which is not cash, and bring your family up, too, and then we'll take a picture.
Council.
Thank you. Okay, next up on the agenda is the Mill Creek Youth Advisory Board Senior Recognition. This is a group of people without which our community events would just not happen. The events that
Thank you, Mayor and Council. So I am excited to present this year's graduating seniors. I have worked with them some for a year and some for a couple of years, and I just appreciate all of your dedication, service, hard work, and commitment to the youth board that you've shown throughout your time of being a member. This year alone, collectively, the youth board provided 1,600 hours of community service. And they're rock stars. They do all the events. They've mentored kids at Mill Creek Elementary. We do Day of Hope. So we kind of do a variety of activities with the members. So thank you again, and so excited you're here. So what we'll do is we'll just do a quick slideshow, which was put together by one of our Youth Advisory Board members, Isha Dillon. She's not graduating today, but she put it together. So we'll do the slideshow, and then we'll just individually recognize the members. Peggy, if you don't mind grab the lights.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here. You can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space with the air. Like I don't care, baby. By the way.
Alexis Ramos, if you stand, thank you, has been on the Youth Advisory Board for 3 years. During that time, she's had the opportunity to get more involved with the community. Her favorite event is the extravaganza. She loves seeing the families in Mill Creek get a chance to come together. Her favorite memory is passing out bundt cakes to the members of the community at the National Night Out event. After graduation, she plans to move to Montreal, Quebec to study political science at Concordia University. Congratulations. And then, Mayor, sorry, I jumped ahead. We'll have you come up.
We're going to take a group picture afterwards.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Thank you for all you did.
Thank you.
No, we're going to do a group picture.
Yeah, sorry.
All right, Caitlin C. Has been on the Youth Advisory for 2 years. Her favorite event is the extravaganza because she loves seeing families have a great time with the various activities, including face painting, wedding photos, and, of course, the egg hunt. Her favorite memory is attending We Day due to the inspiring messages and hearing about all the service projects in the community. After graduation, she plans to attend Western University to study psychology. Thank you, Caitlin. If you'd like to come up. Go. All right. And then we have Navit Burke. She has been on the Youth Advisory for 2 years. Her favorite event is helping with the Santa and Memorial Day parades. She loves seeing families come out and enjoy all the fun community events. Her favorite memory is going to We Day because it was truly an inspiring experience she got to share with the other Youth Advisory Board members. After graduation, she plans to attend the University of Washington and pursue a degree in biology. Thank you. If you'd please come forward. All right, we have Norbu Sangpu. He's been on the Youth Advisory Board for a year. Being a part of the Youth Advisory Board has been an enriching experience for him, and he is thankful for this opportunity. His favorite event is the extravaganza because of the high turnout of seeing kids and all the fun activities. His favorite memory is being a referee on the 3-on-3 basketball tournament. He notes getting to see all the people compete in the tournament was really exciting and very fun. He plans to attend the University of Washington and pursue a degree in mechanical engineering or physics. And please come forward. All right, and Yvonne Park. She has been on the Youth Advisory Board for 3 years. She enjoys getting involved with the city she is raised in. Her favorite and most rewarding event is mentoring at Mill Creek Elementary. She's enjoyed building relationships with the kids and learning new skills gained from working with them. She's enjoyed her time on the youth board and making lifelong memories and friends that have become some of her closest friends. Overall, she's just enjoyed the experience very much. She plans to attend San Diego State University with a major in public health and a minor in Spanish. Please come forward. Thank you very much. All right. And then Unison, yeah. Unison was another member. She wasn't able to join us tonight.
Okay, so people, we're going to take a picture down here because there's we need a little more space.
Yes,
okay. Definitely in front.
In front of us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Need a couple layers here, folks.
Okay, one. My mom wants to see my face.
While you are being seated, I did want to call out Kristen over here because Kristen advises our Youth Advisory Board, and this is not just a temporary assignment every once in a while. This is a hands-on, week-in, week-out, throughout all seasons position that she's taking care of, and she has done a great job, and it's a pleasure for me to watch a staff member just do a great job of leading people and watching how they develop under her leadership. So I also want to recognize Kristen for the job she's doing. Yes, and Council, I have sitting in the audience tonight, Matt Buchanan, who is the chair of the Art and Beautification Board. His His tenure on this specific project predates my time here at the city by about a year and a half. So we just had him come in case I run into stumbling blocks, and he's able to speak more about this. You all saw this project as a presentation, or some of you did, in May of 2016. At that time, it was a growing trend to have utility boxes decorated to remove the gray look and add more of a community feel, show some preservation, some beauty in our community. And we have three main sites that the Art and Beautification Board had identified. One is right out here on the corner of Mill Creek Boulevard and Main Street, where they intersect right before the light. The second spot is over by Mill Creek Elementary, and the third one on Dumas. And each of them have a set of three boxes, different shapes and sizes. But really, these are gray, boring boxes that are, frankly, an eyesore in the community. And this board decided as a group that they wanted to do something to make them look beautiful. And that's exactly what their job is to find opportunities in the city of Mill Creek to provide beautification. So back in 2016, the council approved $5,000 for this project. Of that, $200 was to go to an artist, $300 is a scholarship to a student to help design the box wraps, and then $4,500 was designated for the production and the actual installation of the wraps. As the Art and Beautification Board got into this project a little bit more, they realized that the cost was not as easily attainable as they had hoped back in 2016. When I actually came on the city last February of 2017, the struggle we were having at that time was finding a graphic designer who was willing to take the vision that they had and actually execute it for the stipend provided. It took, I believe, with my time on the board, about 9 more months to get that solidified before we found someone who was willing to contribute more time than she's actually getting paid to do to design this for us. So Amanda Perriman, who is a community member, designed some concepts for the board, and they reviewed them over the fall and made some modifications with her, which we are now, you'll see some samples of these on page 2 of your agenda summary. Yes.
I'm not sure if you're here, but I think we also talked about partnering with the school district.
Correct.
And having the students submit their entries of what the boxes should or could look like. I thought that was a fantastic idea.
And that's something we have actually been working on. So the first, and again, back to the cost that was approved by council, $200 of that was for a graphic designer, not student, and $300 was for a student. So the first set of utility boxes, the ones right out here, have been designed by that community member, Amanda Perriman. We are actually working with Mill Creek Elementary students to design, I think it's the fifth grade that is coming up with concepts that are going to be meshed together for the design over by Mill Creek Elementary on the three boxes. And then we are working with high school students, the art teacher over there, to design the utility box look over by on Dumas. So the school project is still very much part of this. The challenge is the financing for this. So as we got into this, the cost alone to do one set of three boxes is about $3,600 for production and the installation. So with the $4,500 that the council previously approved, we are not going to be able to accomplish this project. So the Art and Beautification Board voted last month to bring this to council with a recommendation to increase the funding, seeing how we do have a larger balance in the Municipal Arts Fund to cover this, and are proposing that we request an additional $7,500 to cover all the boxes specifically for the production of those designs. And that is where we stand today.
If I remember correctly, Councilmember Michelson was, we all gave this a green light in the bobbleheads. Yes. This is exciting stuff. I think all the above. I think the partnership with the school district, the local artists, the available funds, while maybe a little minuscule, but I mean, we can always work on that. So I'm not sure what we're going to do here today, but I certainly support this. I think it's fantastic and great idea.
Yeah, so when Matt and Donna brought this to us a couple of years ago, it was $5,000, probably five boxes. I remember Matt was hoping for $780 per box and turned out to be more, so I understand that. We did not approve three locations. We did not approve three boxes per location. We said go forward and continue fleshing this out. $5,000 budget, five locations. Donna and Matt both said to us, yeah, we're going to go figure out some more. So we said, go forth and work on this and keep us posted. But the statement here that they were presented to us, three sites were presented to us and agreed upon, is not true. And so let's not get ahead of ourselves. I think that at the time we were talking quite a bit about the ugly boxes that turned out they owned by the PUD and by WashDOT. The city boxes are less ugly than others, in my opinion. They're pretty clean and nice. And I understand from talking to Donna, I caught her over the weekend and said, you know, what's the scoop on this? Where has this gone since the 2 years ago? And she said that I think staff found out that the PUD and the WashDOT are harder to deal with, and they really can't do that. So we have city boxes that mm-hmm. we can cover. But I'm finding this, I still think if this is, we talked about having art that was thematic to Mill Creek, that was fun and exciting. But I think we also had in our mind we were covering up some ugly boxes, and the ugly boxes we talked about before are not apparently in the mix here. I understand that, but I'm struggling with a project that has turned out to be more difficult than we thought it was going to be, and I appreciate that. But I'm struggling with going from 5,000 to 1,250 or 12,500. A 250% increase is something that's not trivial. Yes, there is money in the fund, but I think we explicitly talked 2 years ago about that fund needed to have substantial revenue available for other more traditional art for future parks like North Point Park and things like that. So that's what I'm struggling with. Thanks.
We have this design that you see on page 2 of your agenda summary from Amanda that the Art and Beautification Board has had a subcommittee meeting with her to finalize the design. I believe there were some, I don't have that final graphical image, but it had some font changes and just a little bit of wording within some of the images. But if you think about it, over 2 years, that A and B board has met maybe for a total of 24 hours. We are now to a point where we're actually able to execute on this project. We've gone out and met with the schools. They are excited and eager to finish this up this school year. So we are in the final bit here. And the A&B board meets again next week to finalize this project. But what we really need to make it happen is the ability to move forward. And it's the recommendation of the A&B board to do so and finalize this project finally 2 years in. But it really is at the council's discretion.
So that they would be prepared to move forward?
Yes.
Yes, I just want to make a couple of comments on this because I'm actually on this board and have been involved in the project, you know, just for the last few months, but watching it being fleshed out. And there's a couple of things here that I got very excited about watching. I think we need to all talk about the cost, and that's one issue, but just to make sure all the facts about what this does. This type of project, I believe, has been done before in other cities where they wrap the boxes, and to great success. It does it shows some creativity in actually taking something that's existing there that you don't have to actually build a sign, and it does update the visual effect of your city, because right now, you know, a lot of the Mill Creek signs that you see around they're a dark, 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 dark brown with silver faded letters on them. There's a chance here to really brighten up and show a little bit more of the new Mill Creek, as you can see on the design that they came up with. It really brings into account the town center and some of the other areas. So I also know that we looked at the cost on this in the committee, and they did strive to find every way they could to reduce costs, you know, make sure we're not wasting any money here. I think it's important to bring out the fact that sometimes the boxes face each other. Well, let's not put designs on anything that's going to, you know, not actually be easy to see, and reduce as much cost as we can. Doesn't reduce it a lot, but does reduce it a little bit. And the fact that the artwork is from not a art shop here or downtown or somewhere else. It's from the residents of our city. It really speaks to the community, and I really like that. Yes, it is additional money, but it I think it does more than just put a sign to say welcome to Mill Creek. We could do that, and it'd be a lot cheaper. But the artwork here and the design here really says something about our community and brings the community in and involves the community. And I can't think of a better spend to really make that happen. And I just wanted to mention that, because we had these discussions over the last few meetings, and it's kind of hard to bring it down into one little 5-minute session. It's stuff to talk about, but that just want to make those points.
Thank you, Mayor. I do remember discussing this. I thought it was a great community-based project then. I think it's a great community-based project now. I don't want to get too hung up on if it's a couple of thousand dollars more to 2 years later to do it. Things just cost a little more, and there are more boxes to wrap. Councilmember Todd is right. I don't remember discussing a specific number of boxes to cover, but we did say there were specific targets in the beginning. So perhaps that's where we're going with this. In either case, I support it. I think it's great. I think it's a great partnership with the school. One question I would have, though, is what's the rub with PUD or the state boxes? I mean, why the holdup? What have been their answers?
Matt, do you have any information on this you're willing to share? This predates Joni.
I wasn't the one that actually contacted PUD and spoke to those people. I believe at that time it was Brian. And he had extensive conversation making an effort to do that. I understand Councilmember Todd's concern that we're looking at different boxes than what we initially thought. We thought we would be looking at one box in a couple, three locations. That became something that just wasn't available to us. We did make that effort. The boxes that we had hoped to put up weren't going to be in the mix at any point, it sounds like. Now, I find that hard to believe personally because when you looked at some other cities, I see some covered. So it's a little confusing to me. But when we hit that obstacle, we immediately twisted and looked for a more reasonable solution, and that being boxes that we have major control over, city boxes, which brought us to those three locations that the city does have control over. And it helped us to move along a little bit quicker with this process. In doing that, we obviously, instead of going from a single box at a single location, each one of these locations has three boxes, slightly different configuration, but it's still three different boxes, which affected the cost at some level. We didn't have firm numbers initially, simply because we didn't have firm locations nor firm sizes of boxes. So those adjustments had to be made. These boxes are a little more complicated. They've got vents, they've got handles, they've got some things on it that require a little bit more attention. However, I can say that the three locations that have been identified and that are available to us are highly, highly visible. They're not locations that would necessarily be kind of off to the side of the road somewhere, which that was one of the possibilities in the past. These locations, as was pointed out, the ones right down here at the corner, the one over on 35th right there by the 35th at the elementary school, we're in close contact. We had Jeannie, one of our members, is in very close contact with the administration at both that church, that school and the high school, who will be doing the third set of boxes over on Dumas Road, which again has very high visibility. So that's been part of the problem. So we've taken the path of least resistance, to answer your question, when we ran into this obstacle of not being able to get to these other boxes. These became the obvious ones, the easiest ones, and I think some of the most visible ones. You bet.
Yes, thank you for that explanation. I'm a big fan of the idea as well. I just have a quick question regarding the money, and it could be for Matt or for Councilmember Steckler. You said that this happened, the other cities have done this, and it's been successful. Have we compared pricing?
Yes, and I can tell you, I can speak to that if you don't mind. The company that we're using is called Evermark, and we got multiple bids from different people. When they brought us their bid and their samples, they brought us samples of very similar boxes in Kenmore that they had recently done, and I'm sorry, my loss of it. They had a second set of boxes from another city, and the boxes were very similar, and the prices were virtually the same.
Thank you, Mayor. So I'll be honest, I don't get it. These boxes are like city buses. I don't even notice them. So I don't find them to be a distraction or an eyesore or any type of they're just there. I suppose if they were decorated nicely, I might notice them and go, well, that then it would be a beauty in the eye of the beholder thing. I'd either go, that's really cool, or who did that? I don't know. Some art is what it is. Some people love it and some don't. One of the things, a projected lifespan of 5 to 7 years, what's the cost to remove it? It says professionally installed and then removed. What's it going to cost us to undo this when it's no longer?
Good question. I haven't asked that question. I don't know. They're saying a minimum of 5-7 years. They've got, it's probably more like, well, I shouldn't say this, but they're telling me that realistically it's more like 7 to 10.
Okay.
But 5 to 7 is manufactured warranty.
Gotcha. One of the 10 would be a little nicer than 5.
Yeah, I agree. One of the things that, to speak to your first thought there, they're not ugly, but they certainly don't enhance anything. What we want to do is enhance these locations. And a second thing is, these boxes, although they haven't been quite as much as in other places I've seen them, but these boxes are target for graffiti. And it has been proven that by putting these kinds of things on it, the graffiti goes away. People stop messing with them. So, number one, it reduces somebody having to go out there and clean them. And number two, that time where the graffiti's there, it's ugly. And by having this on there while it's an enhancement all the time, it also stops that.
Well, should that be a benefit that we incur from this, I would be in favor of it. And I'd like to see what the results were. I hope that people would respect it enough to not vandalize it.
In other projects that I've been involved in Spokane, we saw significant reduction in graffiti on these types of city artworks.
Okay. So the money is in a designated fund, so we can do it, and it's not hurting some other projects.
I want to follow up on that. My question was about the fund, and maybe Mark or Mike can answer this. What is the source of the funds, and what is it typically used for? Where did this $45,000 come from?
The Arts and Beautification Fund that was set up several years ago by council.
Money we
would
have allocated.
I think when you were doing those big, you know, the eagle out here.
Isn't that the 1% fund of capital projects?
No.
That's the requirement to spend 1%. That doesn't tell you where the money comes from.
Yeah.
I was under the impression it had come in the past from a 1% thing, but I was also told we don't have a 1% rule anymore.
We no longer get 1% and put in that fund.
I
think
it's
been left over from years ago. No.
I mean, that's my question. What other projects are we looking at that we might use those funds for as opposed to this project? Is there anything that is being contemplated by the A and B board? I'm trying to figure out.
I think typically like a park, like a North Point Park, we typically try to say, is there some art here? So like Mill Creek Sports Park, the brick wall with Dunn, Heron Park, the egg, you know, those kinds of things. And I remember that was a discussion. Pardon?
The eagle out here.
Eagle out here. I mean, that was a discussion 2 years ago when Mayor Pruitt brought that up and said, gosh, if we do 5,000, do we have enough for other significant art? You know, $25,000, $35,000 it takes to do a bronze sculpture like the wolf at the high school cost $25,000. It's not huge, but it's not inexpensive. And so I think I'm reluctant, although we've got the money in the bank, I'm reluctant to come short of doing the next whatever we want to do, because that would hamper the future. Now, if the money is just coming in, we get a few thousand every year. It's been a couple of years, that's fine, but Peggy's telling us we don't know where it comes from, so I'm a little spooked about spending.
And there's been little to no activity on that fund for several years.
Where are the boxes by Mill? I should know since I live down the street, but I can't picture where the boxes are by Mill Creek Elementary. Is it on the school side?
On
35th.
35th and 145th. Oh, on 35th.
Yeah. 147th, 148th, whatever that is right there. It's across from Cougar Park. But it's actually
not
across from
the park. No, it's on the street side. It's by the pole that's down.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I had to go looking for them because I couldn't think of where they were either.
Where is the one on Dumas?
By the north.
The street that comes out of the residential area there?
Corner of Dumas and...
Yeah, I wish we had pictures so I could... But we have the picture of the one. Is the 5,000 enough to do the one here by on Main Street?
Yes, it will do. Roughly, we're told $3,700 will take care of that.
I think I'm leaning towards seeing how the community responds to doing the one that's the most visible, which would be the one here by Town Center. I think I'm supportive of that. Even though I live by the one on 35th, I'm not sure that I care about that one being decorated personally. And the one on Dumas, not because I don't live there, but I'm not sure it has the visibility that the one by Town Center does. But
so do it as kind of a pilot project or something?
That's my thinking. Let's do one, see how the community, if they like it, then we could support possibly doing more of them. But I'm not sure. I think there may be a fair number of people that are of the same mind of Councilmember Bond that I'm not sure that it's where we want to be spending our arts dollars. And I would like, I would like more information on the fund, where it comes from, and so I have a better understanding of what I'm, the opportunity costs that I'm choosing here. If we were to put more money towards this project, what is it that we wouldn't be doing or couldn't do? So I would be supportive of moving forward with the one here on Main Street and seeing how the community responds to it. So,
and the money for Main Street's already, the money for one project's already been appropriated?
I believe so. I think we kicked that up to $5,000 to do the couple of extra. We would have to do a budget amendment.
How much is in the fund, Peggy?
I think it's $45,000.
$45,254.92.
And when was the last? You said a couple of years.
Yeah, I don't think there's been any activity, but I'll look when I respond to Councilmember Holtzclaw's question on
the information. I think
the
only money that's been spent out of that has been for the art walk.
Yeah.
And that was very minor. We paid for some printing and a little bit of advertising. And Arts and Beautification Board has tapped that resource very seldom. I've been on the board for 6 or 7 years. I can't remember. And we rarely have gone into that fund. We've tried to use other resources and partnered with people. So, you know, when we came across this, we felt like this was a viable place to make this request. I think, talking to the gentleman that we're working with, I think they would jump right on this. They're ready to go. So I don't know what their timeline is as far as getting the graphics actually applied to the fabric that goes on the box itself or the boxes. But I would say it would be pretty quick, within 30 days. I would say we would see some activity.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Sure. Yeah.
Councilmember Todd?
Yeah, so I'm so confused by the tense of the verbs in the agenda summary. And it says, so the art project was designed for fifth grade military student, Mill Creek Elementary students. It will begin after state testing wraps up. And Jackson High School to have students create designs by the end of the school year. So have they done it or not yet? We've also got ourselves in a position where if we've promised it to the kids, this is a little ugly, but have they done it yet or not?
I don't have an answer as of this date. As of the last meeting we had in May, that's what we had been told by Gene Smart, our board member, who is liaising directly with the schools. So that was their plan, to have it done by the end of the school year, which is in 2 weeks.
Gene Smart is a former school principal. Mm-hmm. And is in very close contact and has a good relationship with the administrations at the two schools. So she's working close on that. I know she's very excited about this and is very enthusiastic about making contact with these people and pushing it along.
We've been around this before, though.
In answer to your question, they have not created the artwork yet, but at the last meeting I do recall her saying she's been in communication with them. They're on it. So if that's your question, are they aware of it? Yes. According to her, she said she'd been in communication with them, but I don't believe the artwork is finished yet.
I would love to continue. The project had a timeline that was not critical. It had a certain scope and had a certain budget. The scope we thought was 5 at multiple locations because we were thinking a big box here, a little box there, a little box there. And it's turned into three places, so that caused the cost to go up. So I'd say the scope needs to stay whatever fits the budget of $5,000, let's try it. Since she has the design, since our designer has this design done, or close to done, I can believe that it could get to Evermark and get produced and put up before the Mill Creek Festival. That'd be a great time to explore with it. To be honest, if the kids haven't really done it, I mean, I've heard this before, we tried to do banners a number of years ago and we struggled to get enough art for those banners that are around the city, because Mill Creek Elementary is all excited about it, but when it came down to it, we were a little short. You know, all due respect, the kids are busy with their school year stuff, and so who knows what we're going to get. You guys have said need to be juried, and I agree. We don't want just whatever comes out because it needs to be thematic and appropriate to Mill Creek. So rushing into this and jamming the school kid stuff out there, I'm not really in favor of. I'd like to see us do this as a stay within the scope and budget we originally had and do it for $5,000.
Go ahead.
Well, as chairman of this board, I would say that's great. We have no problem with that. I think we're more than happy to run a test with this. I'm pretty confident that we're going to get a lot of great feedback. But that's fair. Let's ask and let's find out what the city is like. And that way, if we have to, then we're talking September when we can get the balance of the artwork in here. And I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, all I was going to ask is when it does come back, if we could have some pictures of the other sites, I'll go look at them, but I think it'd be good to have in this report the pictures of the other locations we're talking about, and I'd like to have whatever information we can dig up on that fund, if there's any money coming in, or is it just going out, or do we just allocate it from, was it just allocated at some point from the general fund? We said, let's put X amount over here, and I think the third thing is to hear from the A and B board, is there anything else that you guys are working on that you're going to be coming and asking for money out of this fund for? I don't need that answer tonight, but that's part of the information, if you know.
We don't have anything to present to you at present. We certainly want and have talked about at the board, talked about a number of things, some requiring some money, some not, some simply taking initiative. One of the things that we do think about is, as was mentioned earlier, being involved in some of the art that would potentially be going into some of the parks. The Buffalo Park, places like that, we've talked about. We would like to be helpful, be part of the process in steering or how that art might come about. So to say I have something that would have a dollar figure attached to it, no, I don't. But we're pretty, we're trying to be pretty creative about some of these things so that the monies that come in, we've talked about a number of ways to actually generate funds in conjunction with doing some of this artwork. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sure.
What are we doing with the kids at Jackson? Are they going to proceed with doing their design?
No. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
We also get an answer from PUD, solid answer, whether we can or cannot use the boxes if we choose others. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you guys very much.
For all your work on this.
Thanks, man.
They've left, but as in my position, I want to thank the Youth Advisory Board. They've been tremendous for us, too. They've helped us in some of our projects, so they're a great job. I'm 100% for them.
Thanks for your work on this.
Thanks.
Appreciate your work.
Okay, we have one item of new business that wasn't on the original agenda, but we received an email of the 35th Avenue Reconstruction Project addendum number 7 to contract 2013. Gina, take it away.
Thank you. Good evening, Council. This agenda item, it's my understanding that it was in the electronic version, so I placed hard copies on your corresponding seats prior to the meeting starting. It is for 35th Avenue Southeast Reconstruction Project. As you all are aware, on April 24th, Council awarded the contract to Harbor Pacific Contractors. We are still working with the contractor on defining a schedule. What we're trying to do at this time is what's called a backward schedule, starting from the end and trying to working as hard as we can to not close the road until it's without any certainty necessary, without any doubt necessary to close it. This particular addendum 7 is for KPFF Consulting Engineers. They are the engineers of record. They've been working on the design of this project for several years now. And even though we have Gray and Osborne as the construction management team, they are not the engineer of record. Their role is only for the construction phase, and they were not involved in the design. During the construction, there are questions that the contractor has asked. They've actually already started asking some structural questions that only the design engineer, KPFF, can answer because they have the background in the design. So this addendum 7 for $20,000 covers KPFS design services during the construction phase in the amount not to exceed of $20,000.
So this, I'm looking at this, like 50-something hours. I'm having a hard time, didn't bring my glasses. 50-something hours of a senior engineer and 40 of a project engineer, is what that reads? I'm looking at the last page there.
Last page.
Hours. Hours, isn't it? The point is, this is kind of a best guess estimate of what might happen with questions that come up that need to go back to KPFF that did the design.
Correct.
So this is kind of a guess, and so if they don't spend these hours, we don't spend the money, but this is what we think we need to have this much kind of available for you to spend, and this will be kind of you making the call, or it'll be our construction manager?
Okay, so, yes, and so it's 44 hours for the project manager and 65 hours for a senior structural engineer. We cannot at this time anticipate what questions the contractor will have, and so this is more intended as a placeholder and a $20,000 amount to go towards questions that the contractor could have, and those could be structural, permitting, geotech. We don't know.
Who's the gatekeeper on the questions? We don't want the contractor calling these guys up directly, is it?
Gray and Osborne,
okay. Yes. And so we kind of manage them to manage this. This is their money, but they're managing it on our behalf.
Absolutely, and KPFF cannot spend a single dollar from here without Gray and Osborne and us coordinating on that.
Perfect, thank you.
Okay, so we have a motion. Looks like we were asked to authorize the city manager or mayor to execute addendum number 7 to contract number 2013-1091.
Moved.
Second.
A motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained?
Can I ask a quick question, Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead.
Speaking of closing 35th, what's the status of Seattle Hill Road? I saw they started to put down the ATV at the south end. I haven't been up to the north end. Do we have an estimated completion date from the county yet?
The last I heard from the project manager from the county is August 1st.
August, still.
They hope to beat that, but that is still the last I have heard.
They're already put, well, I figured when I started to see the asphalt go down that they were closer to being done than they apparently are.
I think we're all hoping for that. But the official date I've heard is August 1st.
So when do they start the southern leg improvements of 35th from Seattle Hill Road down to 180th?
They had the pre-con. I don't have their date for the notice to proceed for the contractor, but they already had the pre-con, so they have a contractor on board.
Assume there's some coordination going on between us and the county.
Yes.
Well, in that piece, there's a lot of utility work. They've been moving utilities and knocking trees down and stuff. Getting ready for it.
Okay. Well, we're up to the consent agenda. City, do you have a letter or something for the Army Corps?
Not at this time, Mayor.
Okay, we have a consent agenda, City Council meeting minutes of April 10th, 2018, City Council meeting minutes of April 24th, 2018, City Council meeting minutes of April 26th, 2018, and City Council meeting minutes of May 1st, 2018. Do we have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Skip that.
Technical terms.
Very quick. I just want to make the council aware that I attended the meeting up at Jackson High School last week about the proposed fixes. There, we have a situation that we should be aware of at Jackson. There is going to be projected significant overcrowding up there. The outlook is not good, even with the 13 or 14 additional portables that they want to add at a cost of about $100,000 a portable. More importantly, though, the facility services cannot hold the students. So we're kind of sitting on a close to a powder keg situation, in my opinion, in that you put that many people in a small space, and it just eventually they don't have time to go to the bathroom, they don't have time to go to the, you know, use go to eat lunch. They are looking at a number of proposals. They have not landed on any of them, but the Everett School District is, just for the council's interest, the situation at Mukilteo or Cascadia, I guess Cascadia is the other one, other high school.
Cascade.
Thank you. Cascade is not anywhere near what the situation is at Jackson. And the attendance at the other meetings was, I think, 5 and about 15 parents, and there was almost 200 of us, 150 to 200 of us at Jackson. So it is a situation that definitely something is going to happen. Either they're going to have to redo the boundaries, they're going to have to put up the cubicles, which is – or cubicles, the portables – not a good solution because it just doesn't work. You can put students in the class, but the facilities just aren't there for them. So they're also looking, and that came up a lot at the meeting, proposal to resubmit on the bond again, although it's still 4 years away past it to get another high school. But just thought I would, you know, update the council on that.
No report, Matt. Question I forgot to ask. I don't notice the box on 35th, but I noticed the down pole. What is the status of that being replaced? Is it stuck in insurance with the driver who knocked it? When can we expect that to be replaced?
So are you referring to the pedestrian pole?
Well, it's the big stanchion. I don't know if it's a – doesn't it hold the light? I'm not sure what it holds, but it's the big metal pole there at the southwest corner of 35th and 148th.
So we have three. We're working on it. Staff is working on it, getting quotes, and further, I guess one of the next steps will be coordinating with finance on seeing if we can claim, if we can look at insurance for reimbursement. But that is one of the locations. We have the pedestrian push, the pedestrian pole itself, which right now is a wood temporary pole. And then we also have a location here on SR 527 where we have a down pole. So we're working on all three of those. I don't have a schedule.
Jump on that one. I think that the wood post at that corner of 35th and 148th solves the problem of people pushing the buttons. I think the lights are there, but it just because that pole has been down for so long, it looks like we don't care.
Right.
Or we don't. It's just if we could pick up the pole and put it somewhere else, it would help.
Is there a reason it's not being moved?
Seems like we could photograph it for insurance purposes and then move it.
Not a particular reason. No.
Cover it with grass.
I
expected somebody to say what a wonderful set of events we had in the last couple of days. I don't think we've met since then, but thanks to staff, everybody worked a lot of extra hours for Memorial Day ceremony. Was really good that it was a separate ceremony and it was a memorial. It was a church service for those folks. Maybe church service is the wrong word, but it was a respectful remembrance of those who passed, and then the parade was a parade, but it still had the tenor of being a respectful thing. That was great. And the fact the weather was good and we got the drone and the flyover, man, it was fantastic. So thanks to the staff for doing that. And the farmers park, the farmers market opening was cool. A lot of stuff, busy weekend. I want to report that I went to the PSRC annual meeting and voted our vote. Nothing significant happened. This is the annual report. I only got one of them, but I got the link, so I'll send it to you guys tonight. There's a link. They just posted this on their website. It is useful to look at their annual report. It's not a bunch of numbers. It's kind of interesting about what is going on in the region. So it's, even though it's a few pages, it's worth grabbing down with a beverage, sitting down with a beverage of your choice and reading through that. So I'll send you the link. And finally, I would prefer that we vote on having our voting delegate for AWC. If we could, so we can get that in. So if somebody would make a motion, or you could make it by with no objection to appoint me, we could have up to three votes at AWC. This is voting on representatives throughout the state for the board of directors, the officers for AWC, and if there's any bylaws changes. I don't think there are any, but if we don't authorize somebody, they don't get to vote.
Moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously.
Do we vote two more times so he has three votes?
Yeah,
nice try. We tried that before. It doesn't work. If somebody else decides to go, we have two more votes, and we could do that. But it's,
and we have until the 21st before.
I think you could do it up until the day. If somebody showed up, I think you could still put it in there. But anyway, so if somebody else decided to go, we're going to be there. And it doesn't have to be a council member, I don't believe. I think we've done this before. It could be a staff person. So if somebody ends up in Yakima, wants to do that. I don't think there's anything big on the agenda, but thanks.
Okay, thank you. And
Mayor? Yeah. Sorry, can I, may I? I forgot. We had a gentleman speak about the condition of the park, that he expressed some concerns, which if he's correct, I share his concern. We've got the nice weather here. The school's wrapping up. Our parks are going to be used. It would be my desire, should you agree with me, to have the appropriate staff liaison brief us on that situation and what we're going to do to fix it. And I'd like it at the next meeting, given that it is the sunny weather. Just 10 minutes, but what are you going to do? Is it bad, and what do you need to be authorized by us to fix?
We'll schedule that for the last meeting in June. Yeah, it'll be fine.
If you all agree.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the sad thing is that all the fun toys we had as kids are now no longer safe. And so when the swings disappeared, I thought, oh, no, this is another one of those things that we can't have. But it sounded like a gentleman went and looked at the clearances. And so if we just could replace them, that'd be great. Because swings are a favorite. And there's a lot of places where swings have gone away because the clearances don't exist. So if it still works, I'd love to see us do that. And if it's a few bolts, it'd be great. Thanks.
The outdoor space is in the parks. That's kind of our thing here. We should talk about that.
Okay, the planning schedule is included, and with that, we're up to audience communication. Barb, name and address.
Barb Heidel, 1401 144th Place, Southeast. I want to add my two cents about the farmer's market. I thought the attendance the first day was awesome. And I was so glad to see everybody attend. And I did attend the next week, too. I'm going to be there almost every week that I can. I found out, I went and spoke to the lady, and I don't remember her name, the lady that's in charge. And I had put in a request for another vendor. And I found out how easy it is to just put in a request. So I've sent an email to the Snohomish Bakery to say, will you please, please, please participate in our farmer's market? Because I think it could get bigger and better the more we publicize and let people know how much we appreciate them coming. And that was one of my goals, was just thanking everybody, all the money I spent. I also want to say, yes, the parade was wonderful, and I couldn't stay at the whole memorial ceremony because I had my job to do, to work at the parade, but I thought it was extremely touching and very respectful. And the only problem was, could not hear in the back, which was something that needs to be resolved for the next ceremony we have there. But the parade with the flyover was fantastic. He flew over three times, and seeing that tank, which was a very big hit for everybody at the end of the parade, kids and adults, me included, going up and checking it out and seeing it. So thank you to the city for sponsoring the farmers market, yes, and for putting on a wonderful parade and ceremony. Thank you.
Thank you.